Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Work in the news business long enough and you have to find ways to protect yourself from the constant barrage of death and panic that is this 24-hour stream of disaster. And sometimes, when things are really bad, I yell at the news gods while this song plays on repeat in my head.
You got no right to take my joy, I want it back. You got no right to take my joy, I want it back. You took my joy, I want it back. You took my joy, I want it back.
Leave it to Grammy-winning songwriter Lucinda Williams to capture a feeling. Williams is still writing and performing even after enduring the recent tumult of her own life. In 2020, a tornado struck her home in Nashville, then the pandemic. In November of that terrible year, a blood clot on her brain sent Lucinda Williams to the hospital. The stroke would set her back, but it could not keep her down. Lucinda Williams has a new album out. It is called Stories from a Rock and Roll Heart. And here is the first track. Let's get the band back together.
We hung together.
All right, let's bring in Lucinda Williams. It is such a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Hi. Oh, thanks for having me. That was a wonderful introduction. I love the thing about yelling at the news god. Is that what you were
well,
saying?
Well, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't
no,
mind me. You know,
I loved it.
I know that's not the interpretation you meant when you wrote that song,
no,
but I think it resonates with people.
Partly is, yeah. Everything I write now can either be interpreted as a unrequited love song or mad at somebody in the government or somebody in the world.
Well, it's been 3 years since the stroke, or almost 3 years, and I know your fans are always eager to know and get updates. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, actually. Recovery is a bitch, as they say. It just takes time, and you have to be patient and try to stay positive at the same time.
Well, I understand that after the stroke, you couldn't physically play the guitar. And
yeah.
Are you still unable to?
Yeah, I still haven't been playing, but I'm hoping, because I had to learn to walk again, too. And I was able to. I got that back. So I'm hoping that if I was able to walk again, I'll be able to play guitar again.
Mm. That's got to be hard, because I've seen you perform on stage and you've got this big guitar, sort of your arms wrapped around this big instrument. You've been playing since you were 12 years old. What was that loss? What has it been like for you?
Well, it's been hard because that's the way I write songs, is with my guitar. So I felt kind of lost without it. But the thing is, I've got a great band behind me. I've got two great guitar players, Doug Pettibone and Stuart Mathis. You know, so we get up on stage and they play and I sing, and it works.
It sure does. Let's listen to another song from the album. This one is called Where the Song Will Find Me.
So close to the edge, and all the passing cars, just to be where the song will find me. I wanna be where the song can find me.
That's one of those songs that makes you sad in all the good ways.
I know. Me too. I was kind of getting wistful listening to it.
Tell me about that place that you're singing about, the place where the song will find me. What does that mean?
Yeah, to me, it's about being ready for the muse. You know, sometimes when you're writing songs, I've heard other songwriters say this, sometimes when you're in the really deep inside a song and stuff is just flowing out, oftentimes you don't know where that's coming from. It sort of feels like it's coming from another realm somewhere, and you're just a vehicle. You know, it's flowing through you and onto the page.
At this stage in your life, does the muse still speak to you in the same way?
Yeah, it does. You know, because what I've learned over the years is that so much of songwriting is about deciding what to write about. That's probably half of it right there. And I'm never at a lack for thinking of something to write about.
Speaking of writing, earlier this year, it's been a busy time for you. You published a memoir called Don't Tell Anyone, The Secrets I Told You. And in that book, you go pretty deep into a lot of secrets, your mother's mental illness, your own struggles with mental health, OCD, the long road you've had to success. Why did you feel the need to write a book when for so many years, you know, it was the music that's been telling your stories?
I feel like the two are nicely connected, you know, the book and the album. Because for so long, I would tell, whenever I would play the songs live, I would always tell a little story about the song before I would sing it. And now the book is here, and the book kind of takes those little stories and just goes more, you know, into depth with them.
All right. Well, I'm going to need the story behind this song. This one's called New York Comeback. Let's listen.
Okay.
In case people couldn't tell, the voice behind you there is Bruce Springsteen. How did you get the boss to come and be your backup singer on this album?
Everybody's been asking me that. He's been a fan of my music for a while, and he's always been very supportive and just a great guy. Very down to earth.
Yeah, that must have felt great.
Oh, God, it felt so good. And I still can't get over it. I'm still just a crazy fan, you know. Every time I hear his voice on there, it drives me crazy, just the sound of his voice on there.
Well, speaking of greats, there is a tribute on your album to the great Tom Petty. Let's listen to Stolen Moments.
Somewhere between First Avenue and Second Street, I think about you. It's like a heartbeat. I think about you. In stolen moments, you're riding with me. You're riding with me again. You're riding with me. In stolen moments, you're riding with me again. In stolen moments.
And his songs were so much in my system, you know, because I'd been hanging out with him a lot, and he invited me to open up his very last shows that he did in L.A. at the Hollywood Bowl.
Just before he died in 2017?
Yes, just before he died. That's why it was so intense, because I'd done those shows with him, and it was great, and we hung out after the show, and then he was gone.
What do you think he would make of that song?
I think he would love it. I really do. You know, he loved my music, and he was so supportive of me. He understood how things were in the music business, but he never let himself get cynical or jaded. That was one of the things I loved about him.
Before we go, I want to hear one more song. This is Never Going to Fade Away.
When nothing's ever enough, and I can feel it in my gut, that things are just a little too much, and I feel like I'm losing touch. I'm never gonna fight.
mentioned the tornado that hit your home in Nashville in 2020. There was the pandemic, then your stroke, as we've talked about. I know that sometimes people wonder how they'll respond to the big challenges that come up in one's life. Did you think you were as resilient a person before all these things happened
to you?
You
know what? No, I don't think I did. That's a good question, because I had never been this challenged to this extent before. But for some reason, I just dove in and rose to the challenge. So, you know, there's sort of a thread, a little bit of a theme running through the album, I think. And that is, you know, not giving up, being challenged, fighting an uphill battle, resilience, coming back.
Lucinda Williams, the new album is Stories from a Rock and Roll Heart. It was such a pleasure and a treat to speak with you and to listen to this music with you. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.